Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Join me in the chat room there at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and click on the chat room button. And it's, you know, the reason I'm talking about making contact with people all the time is that, well, there's a perception out there that if somebody else is being attacked, I don't necessarily have to rush to their aid because, you know, whoever's killing them or isn't my enemy and maybe I shouldn't intervene and all of that kind of jazz, you know. And there's understandings for that argument. However, I don't believe that that applies to the truth movement. I think that if somebody demonizes anybody, whether you're a 9/11 truther, a free man on the land, a Tea Party member or whatever, if you're a health freedom advocate, if you are a New World Order researcher, it matters not. We're all on the same effing team, okay? And an attack on one is an attack on all of us. I think everybody needs to really understand that, okay? That if you don't support your networks and all your other activist contacts, when they get the heavy hand dealt to them, you know, just do what you can. There's 40 people doing a little bit adds up to a heck of a lot for one person who's down on their luck and being oppressed by the state. Some of which get thrown into mental institutions. Yep. You heard me correct. If you are a truther, if you believe that the official story is not true about 9/11, like 85% of Germans, you can be thrown into a mental institution, as happened to Claire Swinney here in New Zealand. I believe in the United States, one person was thrown in a mental institution for thinking that the Federal Reserve was a private corporation, as it is listed in the phone book. It is not a mental health service that is for the good of the people who go in there. It is for the good of suppressing political dissent to a large degree. How convenient. An excuse. Oh, they're just crazy. Don't listen to what they say. Listen to us, though. Because we've got privacy laws where you can't contact these people and they can't contact anybody else. And they're completely trapped in there with huge orderlies to stand over them and copious quantities of hardcore pharmaceutical drugs at a huge expense to the taxpayer that will more than likely either damage your liver, kidneys, or freaking just kill you or make you go nuts, or all of the above. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. Yes, it's business time.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. That's Vinnie with a Y. It's the most important question, apparently. It's the lighter side of genocide where the worst and most terrible situations that human beings wind up finding themselves in are the stuff that we use for our gags on the show. And my very special Kiwi collaborator for today is just in time. He's written a book called The Truth Shall Set You Free. And upon recent events, a member of the New Zealand Transparency Movement, I believe her name is Joan Rea, or something, she has been locked up in the mental health services, and Justin himself has been locked up for certain political belief himself, and he's going to come on today to lay us out the actual structure and the very intention of how the mental health services were set up, at least in New Zealand, which I'm pretty sure is not entirely dissimilar from the rest of the world. Just in time, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Yes, Vinnie, and correction there, the book is entitled Truth Can Set Us Free, because we all have an option.
Yeah, that's right. Some people see truth and use it to set themselves free. The other people see truth and deny it.
Exactly. We call that denial.
Yeah. And whatever floats your boat, personally, denial doesn't float my boat because I'm not in favor of canoe traveling, especially when it's the water is surrounded by dangerous Nile crocodiles, as I'm sure this metaphor really actually does correspond. If you are in denial, there's certainly an awful lot of very, very dangerous things swimming beneath the surface, and only very few people actually wind up falling off the boat in their lives, so they would never know the difference.
That'd be a pretty good observation, yes, and we've got to ask the big question, why is that? When we seek the answers to the why, we can get a good understanding of the what and the who and the when.
Now, the mental health services, I've known several people who have been involved with them, both on the inside as patients and on the inside as workers, and the horror stories that I hear and have seen with my own eyes from both sides of the fence are incalculable. It makes Charles Manson look like a very, very tame and very sophisticated man indeed.
Absolutely. It's an instrument that was set up originally for purposes of controlling the masses. And when you get people who object to building consent approval because it broke the rules and the house is going to be too close to a fence or whatever, if that objection is going to be an embarrassment to somebody who has influence or power, then quite often the mental health issue is used in those circumstances. Or obviously when a sergeant of a police force is having a bonk with somebody else's wife and somebody needs to be kept quiet or ridiculed, the mental health services is used as an instrument for controlling those who are deemed to be not playing the game.
Those who are deemed to be very, very dangerous indeed.
Yeah, and it was the industry itself, and I call it an industry because it's not a profession, because it is not based on science. It is based on mere opinion. And the industry was constructed and put in place straight after the Second World War. And so hospitals were given directions to set up mental health facilities and wards and services and that sort of thing. Got underway about 1952. And a bunch of people who decided to go into psychiatry once they had graduated with their medical degree. And the stepping stone into the field of psychiatry became the industry where 99% of psychiatrists entered that fraternity in order to get a better understanding of themselves. But to get that understanding of themselves, they use other members of the public as the pawn. And so go find yourself an honest psychiatrist, and he will tell you that 99% of psychiatrists, so-called, are seeking an understanding of their own dilemma.
Well, it would seem quite rational, because when you walk into psychiatric wards, it's kind of like a sterile and fearful environment, right? It's like everybody sort of, they've got their eyes on the ground. That was the strange thing that I noticed. Nobody had their head up, not even the staff. It's like they're...
It's stigmatized.
I don't know.
It is. It's because of the publicity and everything else. You've got to look at who owns the publicity machine, who owns the media outlets, who tells the editors what to print. And so that industry is veiled with a sense of shame that you're not up to the mark, you know. And when you study a lot of these people in there, I think you would come, if you were given that opportunity, you would come to the conclusion that at least 70% of people who are categorized as mental health patients, at least 70% don't need to be there. Their concerns are spiritually based and cannot be fixed with chemicals. And
Justin, does that mean that there are conditions that can be cured with chemicals?
I would rather not go and debate.
Okay, continue.
Leave us a little bit of flexibility here.
All right.
No, it is, you know, number one, it is an industry. It is set up for convenience of control and preserving the so-called integrity of the perceived elite. It is not in the best interests of mankind.
Now, you personally, what's your experience of the elite? How did you get into this kind of area of research and rhetoric, like us, like me?
Yeah, and trying to understand the big why to certain stages of my life and the experiences I had when I was forced into bankruptcy totally by surprise in one particular project that had huge potential for the benefit of mankind. And so I started looking at, hey, why did this happen? And after many months of research, I found that there were other vested interests in big business who were desiring to protect their own business, and the project I was working on was going to threaten their profits. And the more you look, the more you discover, the more you can't believe, and so the more you have to look again and go a bit deeper to try and figure out whether you're imagining everything or whether you're really stumbling onto some facts. And once you take the bait and you take the hook, you can't stop because the picture gets bigger and deeper. And unfortunately, we're not taught about all these things in school.
You wonder why you don't get through. This is the thing. You get woken up to one thing, and it opens up the doors for all of them. It's like you're going through a corridor, and the corridor is virtually never-ending, and there's no doors to the side. There's only doors in front of you, and you have to keep opening and opening and opening and opening to get forward more and more. And behind each door, there's another one, you know. It's an intricate network of closely guarded secrets that are all compartmentalized from each other and are all connected in a roundabout kind of way so as to facilitate their own secrecy.
That's right. And the preservation of that secrecy is facilitated by the pyramid structure of every aspect of social life, if you like, for the last 6,000 years, whether you want to look at churches or banks or government administrations or sports clubs or whatever. By convention, we've always had that pyramid where people strive to get up the next layer and each level is compartmentalized. And so the left hand obviously often doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and this is capitalized to the max by the age-old tradition of scouts, if you like, hanging around university campuses, and they identify those brilliant scholars who go through with honors. And those guys, of course, are recruited and financed and sponsored for postgraduate studies. By the time they're 35 or 40, they start to wake up to the fact that their research is being used for, not for the benefit of mankind, but it's being used to further the interests of a vested few. And I'm talking about 4% of the global population.
4%? So, that's actually quite a lot of people there.
Well, that's, you know, the pyramids are pretty big and they're quite numerous, so you've got to have quite a bunch of people right at the top of all these different pyramids. So the researcher, the brilliant scholar, suddenly, you know, approaching middle life, and he's got family and responsibilities. By then, he discovers that, my word, his scientific discoveries is not being used for the greater good. And those who try to get out of it find that they can't get out of it. They're then controlled by fear. And this is how the whole thing has been rolling for thousands of years. We go back to the emperor, you know. The emperor controlled the people and took the taxes for land because the people were kept in a state of fear. And we still have that today. And walking down that corridor you're talking about, we can either advance further into the unknown, which is the exciting part of life, or we can stop and retreat and stay in denial. And most people, unfortunately, or many people, choose to stay in denial. But then we ask the big question, why do so many people stay in denial? And we find that that's a result of contaminants in food. We find 85% of processed food now has undesirable elements in it and contaminants, toxins.
Many of which have untold effects on the brain and, you know, delay people's development, making them not be able to think quite as much, or even, in the case of aspartame, actually eating the brain itself away.
Yep, many of these ingredients target the pineal gland and the spiritual component of ourselves, because if we are dumbed down to the extent where we don't recognize that we have a spiritual component or a higher self or a higher guidance facility, then we're much easier to control. We become totally robotically compliant. And we don't question the orders that come down from the upper levels of the pyramid. And that's what we've got in most of our government agencies all around the world now.
And how long has it been this way? You know, is it getting worse?
Really?
Is it getting worse, or is it actually getting exposed at a rate where we would be encouraged to see it eventually eroded and rotted away forever? Is it replenishing itself? These are the questions and the answers that I really need to know.
I think we are generally becoming much more aware of it since the advent of the internet, because that's given us our own individual access to communicate with other people around the world. Prior to the internet, all of the media instruments, be it television or newspapers or the old telex machine, all of those instruments for communication were totally controlled by those at the top of the respective pyramids. But the internet, although it was designed to be a military tool, escaped its own cage, and it's become accessible to the public. So, you know, the world has become much smaller since 1990, basically. So you're becoming more aware of these controls, although the ideology and the methods of control have been in place for a very long time.
Well, and they're getting more technologically advanced, more sophisticated. It's like at the same time that humanity is advancing using technology to accomplish things that are merely sort of like an amplification, like a crane is an amplification of my arm, allows me to move bigger objects higher, or a cell phone is an amplification of my voice. I can yell across great distances and things like that. What's happening now with technology is that it's advancing the aims of psychopaths that are in control, the elite of which you speak. And if we've got a society now, a technologically technocratic, you know, blah, 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 scientifically advanced dictatorship type of model, what exactly are they planning for us? I mean, in terms of day-to-day life, if everything they wanted to have happen happened, day-to-day life would be very, very different. Be curfews every day, police on every corner, cameras in everybody's homes, artificial intelligent computers.
You're heading for that now. Many people haven't realized it, but if you look at the younger generation of the recruits from police training academies, they're coming out. The 30-year-olds are out there with no respect for anybody else, and they're obviously being trained towards riot control rather than being trained as a peace officer.
Well, you know what? That reminds me of a story just came out yesterday. Tiki Tane, a very, very prominent New Zealand musician, was arrested at 3:25 a.m. at a bar in Tauranga called, wait for it, the Illuminati. And guess which song he was singing? If the Police, written by Ice Cube in 1988, while he was part of the NWA, which was a protest song. And some police hothead got it in their mind that it was a great idea to arrest a bar member, arrest the musician, arrest the DJ, you know, that kind of thing. This sort of brutality is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, you can call it brutality, but if they're brainwashed in their training to be the legal authority of their community, you know, so it's up to you guys when you graduate, when you're out on the street, it's up to you guys to keep the peace, you know, and this is how you're going to have to do it. Then that gets set in their mind. Of course, the ego, the human characteristic that's most vulnerable, the ego is played to. Example, Piggy Muldoon's ego was appealed to when he was selected as director of the World Bank.
Director of the World Bank?
Once he was made a board member of the World Bank, then they told the rules. But they appealed to his ego to get him to accept the position and then gave him a lot of publicity, and everybody around New Zealand thought, hooray, we've got a brilliant Prime Minister here.
Well, see, this is the reason why I came up with the term Prime Sinister. My very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is Justin Time, our very special Kiwi collaborator. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Join us in the chat room there. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Because when the media won't do their job, don't bother fighting them, just replace them, because they're no longer relevant. And they're pretty freaking pathetic, quite frankly. It's actually not that hard to make better news than mainstream media, because there's a heck of a lot you can say that they can't. That is far more interesting and less dry and manufactured with very nice teeth. My very special guest is Justin Time, coming at us live from New Zealand. Justin, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, getting into it, there's this lady here, I've just pulled her up, Kate Rao from TINS, Transparency in New Zealand, website dedicated to telling true stories of corruption in New Zealand, you know, and just relating this back to what you said before, is she fits the profile, doesn't she? All right. For more than 1 month now, she's been improperly detained in the mental health facility called Rangipapa in Porirua, New Zealand. Kate has been denied both basic civil and human rights during and throughout her quote-unquote detainment. And when she was detained, she had never been medically diagnosed or assessed as having a mental disorder. And today, based on reports of direct observations or info from other sources, including family, or dubiously garnered, Kate is being treated as if she has a mental disorder and is currently under doctor's instructions to be forcibly medicated. She's forcibly medicated with two different pills, risperidol and aripiprazole. Their use together is outside the terms of the manufacturer's instructions. Incapacitation, anyone? And for the treatment of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Now, this is a, the subject of a petition at Care 2 petition site. You can Google release Kate Rao, R-A-U-E, to help her. And this is the reason why I had Justin on today, because of his knowledge of that particular system. So does it sound like a textbook case to you here?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would, I'd be very quick to suggest that the lady you're talking about get hold of the Mental Health Act and various other acts, and she write a formal letter to all of the directors of the hospital board of the facility where she is being deprived of her liberty, and she asks for full disclosure and explanation of the grounds upon which somebody has made a decision to deprive her of her liberty. The full disclosure means that they must therefore put in writing the grounds that they have acted on, where, what is the legal footing for that decision, and it will come to light that some years ago it used to require two psychiatrists to sign after interviewing and assessing a person. It required two signatures to detain somebody against their will under the Mental Health Act. That was modified so only one signature is currently required, which made it much easier for the powers that be to put somebody out of the way, if you like, and to stigmatize their character with a mental health blemish, be it real or imaginary. But that's the first thing. I would start a paper trail, and I would ask for full disclosure on what basis, and then that would we can go from there.
Now, in terms of coping while inside, you were concerned at one point that they would be drugging you without your knowledge. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's through food. In my own instance, I talked very nicely to all the staff involved and told them that I didn't want to be subjected to that that trickery, and that I'd be playing the piano twice a day to check on the coordination. And if I started making some mistakes on the piano, I would assume that my coordination was being got at through the food, and I would hold each and every one of them accountable till the end of my days. So with a very tactful discussion with each one, my food seemed to be untouched. I got myself vitamin supplements and minerals brought in by outsiders who were free to go for a walk now and again. I made sure that I had sufficient vitamin supplements to keep my stress level down and stay on top of the situation and remain calm, and to remain very observant and make notes all the time. The day came eventually when common sense prevailed and I was released, and then I could fall back on all of my notes and start some legal action. That's what needs to happen, because the publicity machine has convinced most unsuspecting public that the mental health industry is indeed a service, whereas it's not. It's not a service for the greater good.
Well, it's a service that kills more people than the special air services, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And the truth needs to come out, and people need to understand that. And if we have a person in there now who's convinced that she's being detained against her will with no moral or medical grounds behind the detention, then we all need to hook into that and look at it and help her as best we can.
Yeah, and it's like I say, you know, an attack on one is an attack on all. You know, if you don't stand up behind people who have this terrible stuff happening to them, who's going to stand up for you? Okay,
absolutely. We need to get the 20-year-olds understanding what's happening and how these foundations have been set in place, because 20-year-olds are the incoming generations, and they need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult nowadays with the vapid and vacuous nature of the youth to get them to really, I don't know, place the bargaining chips on the table to invest in research like this. They think that watching a documentary that's like an hour and a half, hour long or whatever, is like a big time investment and not worth the effort, when they could and most likely will at some point develop problems that will involve mental health services in some way, shape or form, or somebody they know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there's a great documentary called Industry of Death, or Psychiatry and Industry of Death, and another one called Making a Killing. And that was even viewed on Māori television here in New Zealand, where they stipulated and provided much documentation for that pharmaceutical companies, especially the larger ones, have completely corrupted the psychiatric industry, if it wasn't corrupt to begin with, and now basically just hired guns to push copious quantities of extremely dangerous, untested, placebo effect, migrated and unsafe medications. Basically, the entire world's population has become more or less a giant guinea pig cage.
Exactly. Now, you know, get it right, on the psychiatric industry was set up from day one to do exactly that, as a legal means of unlawfully controlling people.
Right, so if we've got people who really have that particular intention, how exactly do you get rid of them? My solution is obviously shine the light of day onto them, you know, throw a camera on them, talk about them on radio. Because, you know, when I heard about this thing, you know how we get so many offers and all of that kind of stuff, Justin, for people asking for our help and needing us and all of that kind of jazz. And, you know, I try to help out everybody as best I can. But this one I was basically prepared to flog off until somebody posted it on Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group as well. So it's just like, okay. Going. And I'm just like, man, this is absolute textbook stuff.
Truth is the light, Vinny, and by bringing out the truth, you need to have media and resources that will distribute the truth to the people, and that's what you're doing, and that's what mainstream media is not allowed to do. The editors get the sack.
I gave a call to this particular facility where they were holding her. And I say, oh, g'day, how you going, mate? And he's like, oh, yeah, pretty good, how are you? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, just trying to get a hold of Ms. Kate Rao. I'm Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show calling in, because I'd really like to schedule an interview with her about how she's being detained and forced medicated without her will. And he's like, okay, I'll get the head nurse. So the head nurse comes on. I go, hey, how's it going? She's like, oh, I'm wonderful, thank you. And I say, I'm Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I'd really like to interview Kate Rao about being forced medicated and being held against her will by mental health services. And she goes, hold on, I'll just transfer you to somebody else. And that led to an answer phone.
Yeah, well, you may well laugh, Vinny, but in 1988 in New Zealand, the mental health industry was exposed enough after deep sleep experiments, and that was to do with the first documentary you mentioned, Industry of Death. Now, Basil James was the head of New Zealand Mental Health in 1988, so he was eventually discharged from service in New Zealand. But he was picked up and re-employed across the ditch, and he was made professor of a dean of psychiatry at Townsville University, and he was put in charge of the Queensland Mental Health Services after being sacked from New Zealand. So that's how it works. You there? Hello?
Hello, hello. Sorry about that. What
did you?
This is I heard all that. I was thinking to myself, what exactly is going to happen? Will I, for trying to expose the psychiatric industry, wind up getting committed to at some point?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me either. You know why? Because anybody who becomes dangerous, who starts voicing all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes a target instantly. Now, my theory is that if I'm in the public eye, they become a target. Whether or not they act on that targeting is very different from whether or not there's a possibility, right? And my thoughts are that if I'm in the public eye as much as possible, it can then protect me so that I can expose all these different scumbaggery type groups by getting on the experts who can expose them without me necessarily having to do all the research, but just bring on the research, okay? So I can sort of jump the gun. That way, not only do I have a little bit of a public eye on me, so if anything happens, it'll shoot up a lot of red flags. And I'm sure if the state tried to do something like that to me, there'd be quite a few activists who'd be very, very upset.
Well, it's all about getting the truth out there, you know. So, yeah, investigate, get the truth. And like I'm saying, this woman, if she's being detained against her will, and if she's being medicated without her consent, we need to get in there and support her. So through your contacts, try and find out what you can, and I will offer my time as best I can to help. And she will need, once she gets out of this, she will need detoxing before she will be able to rationally confirm or testify anyway, because she'll be so loaded up with heavy metals that the brain's not going to be as functioning as good as it could be.
Yep, that's what they do. In fact, you know, I hear the story all the time. That's why I keep saying it's a textbook case. It's a textbook case, and I can't stop it. It's the fact that it goes on at all is scary enough. The fact that it goes on so freaking often.
ask the question. You may find that this woman wanted to go and sue a bank or to sue a counselor or somebody.
Yeah,
you go and ask why. Did she attract attention to herself? And we'll go right back and find the cause of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think you might be right. This is the thing. When you become suspicious and you become cynical, inevitably, when you think about the New World Order and all the various mechanisms of control, half the time you're right, if not more. Just from blind suspicion, just because we know how the enemy kind of operates.
Yeah, well, you know, the key is asking the question why. Seek the answer to the why. Why did she get detained? Why did somebody classify her? Seek the answers for everything. When we pursue the question why, then we start to get the understanding.
Yeah. And coming up after the break, I want to discuss with you, Justin, about this Japanese nuclear crisis and how people might be able to protect themselves by just basically being a little bit more informed about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can check out Justin Time's website at ubthejudge.co.nz, and you can listen to this show live on the internet at www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. It's the lighter side of genocide. We'll be right back.
Me driving and I won't stop, and it feels so good to be alive and on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous fluoridated Iftard, Auckland City, New Zealand. My very special guest, Justin Time, joins us now, and I'm going to give him the floor for a bit in this final segment of the first hour to break down the Japanese scenario for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Time. Go ahead, mate.
Thank you, Vinny. Just like to say that the feedback from researchers who have been watching very closely the Fukushima incident, the feedback is not good. We are in for a very long haul through many generations of being constantly harassed by radiation in the water supply, radiation in the food chain, radiation in the air, because some of this long-term radiation does not break down and does not decay, and the wind will pick it up and take it wherever it wants to. So the brief overview is that the whole planet is going to become contaminated by radiation released, and is still being released, and is likely to be released for many years to come because of technical problems involved in trying to put fire out. So what's the effects of radiation? You're going to have many, many more deformities. You're going to have many more behavioral problems and intellect decay or decline in the intellect of the new incoming generations. And as we just heard the other day, a 2-year-old in America died of breast cancer. And we have quite a few young 4- and 5-year-olds in Auckland Starship these days experiencing leukemia and other blood disorders, which turn out to be terminal and fatal. We will have much more of that because of radiation contamination in the sperm of the male or in the ovum of the female or in the blood while the woman is carrying, or just associated with the air that we breathe and the water we drink and the food that we eat. Bear in mind that 85% of processed foods today are loaded with undesirable toxins, so it doesn't leave us a lot of choice. Even if we do have our own back veggie garden, we've got to try and ensure somehow that the water we put on the veggie garden is radiation-free and does not have any of this nanotechnology emanating from Massey and Auckland universities. We really need to become aware of what is happening in the big picture and the answer to the big question, why is this happening? Okay?
So why is it happening? Are they starting the long talked about eugenics kill-off of 85 to 95% of the world's population?
I believe that's been underway for at least one generation. And what you're seeing now is it's getting into full swing. It's gone past the stoppable time.
Yeah, yeah. So this is totally irreversible and there's nothing we can do, is there?
Yeah, apart from regular and full intensive cleansing of the body to stay on top of radiation contamination. But that's an individual choice. It's an individual responsibility. You can't, of course, do it to 100, you can't detox 100,000 people just by radio waves. So it's an individual thing. It has to come from the inside out.
So everybody's basically got to take responsibility for their health and their cleansing with this. What can people do?
Yeah, they can seek by updating their knowledge on it. You know, instead of depending on the local doctor who just depends on manuals which are written by the pharmaceutical industry, people have got to start taking their own destiny into their own hands and remembering that they might be the keeper of their soul, but they're the master of their own destiny. So, yeah, we've got to foster responsibility and awareness, massive education, jerking people out of the comfort zone that we've been so conditioned to be in for the last 10 generations.
So let me just see if I've got this right. It's the end of life as we know it. A lot of people are going to die or be deformed or be born mentally deficient or become even more mentally deficient. It's basically just an accelerated form of a program that's been, in full swing for a long time, but now is getting into high gear. The car has left the driveway and the driver is a maniac and he's got a full tank of gas.
Yeah, much as many of the intellectuals will not wish to agree, but I believe that we are in devolution mode. The human species is not evolving, it is devolving.
Well, that's why I always say, you know, I don't believe in the theory of evolution, but I certainly believe in devolution.
That is exactly what's happening. Statistics, again, you can't rely on statistics unless you keep them yourself, but with the internet these days, people can do their research. They can get realistic figures, which the official news stories from Fukushima is not an inkling towards the reality of that catastrophe over there.
She said the Frenchman who was in Japan released a YouTube video. They were showing pizza commercials. You know, and it doesn't get worse than this. And I don't know. I say permission to freak out. You know,
I
can't do anything about it now. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit self-indulgent by laughing about it because I just kind of want to deny the reality because there's nothing I can do about it. Maybe that's it.
Well, there is something we can do about it if people share the truth and face the reality.
The problem is I'm already doing that, and it's very scary.
then people have got to look at what responsibility means to become a parent, to bring somebody else into the world of such a mess. If the offspring that we're going to generate or produce is not going to have a chance at being of living a normal life.
How do you live in a world where there is like no chance of living a normal life? Now that's a good question to leave it on. I'd like to thank you, Hugh, for coming on the show with us today. His website, ladies and gentlemen, is ubethejudge.co.nz. Thanks very much, Justin, for coming on.
Righto, brother. Anytime.
See you, mate. There he goes. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. All right, coming up, hour number two of another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about unity and looking on the lighter side of genocide. Because in terrible, terrible times, if you can't laugh at all those terrible, terrible things, you'll go friggin' nuts. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. We have somewhat of a fabulous guest, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is Dr. Robin Falco. Her website is healthfreedomrights.com. We welcome her now to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Dr. Robin, welcome.
Why, thank you, Vinnie. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Give us a bit of a breakdown about yourself. I'm dying to know.
Ah, okay. My pleasure to do so. I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine, and I'm also a homeopathic physician. I've worked with homeopathy for over 25 years now, after a friend first introduced me to a remedy, which I tried, which had successful results. And had I known what it was, I probably would never have taken it. But fortunately, I did not know, and it led me on a whole wonderful path of discovery. I'm also a goldsmith and a silversmith. I was studying for a degree as a graduate gemologist. I've done a lot of different things. I'm also in the process of reorganizing my book that I've been working on about light-emitting diode technology, which is an amazing modality for healing. I know I've had people say, oh my gosh, that's like Star Trek technology. But it is quite effective and quite impressive.
Yeah, and speaking of Star Trek technology, the Borg, becoming a closer and closer reality each day, don't you think?
yes, we definitely have this hive mind happening.
Oh, America's great. We're not going down. We're not being totally poisoned by contamination and being overrun by bankers who are passing legislation to legislate away every single right our founding fathers have ever fought for. No!
I was on the phone with a company that makes these little nuclear radiation monitors. We have a small one, and I wanted to find out about setting it up properly. I wanted to make sure, and they are so swamped. I mean, they're so far behind when it comes to filling orders because the demand is so great, and there is... For those people who are watching and looking at what's going on in the media, it boggles the mind. This is a Saturday Night Live reality example where suddenly you would see a skit on Saturday Night Live and they would show a nuclear reaction leak. And then what's the follow-up? Okay, let's see. The EPA has got to increase the levels of safe radiation. And, you know, for foods as well. And how does this add up? Why are they increasing levels now that there's more exposure? I mean, something is just crazy. People would think, this can't be happening, and yet this is what we're seeing in the headlines.
Yeah, and the levels were probably being violated in the first place anyway because of the fluoride that they add to the water is mined from the phosphate industry and is freaking radioactive.
Yeah. It is across the board. And then we have reports of measuring systems that have shut down because it's just too high.
See, it actually, if you pretend for a moment that it actually is a Saturday Night Live skit, it is freaking hilarious. But it's not. It's real. And we are all effed.
Yes, yes. We're all sharing this insanity together. And it is up to each and every person in your audience, in my audience, everyone who hears what's going on, they have to take action.
Yep, take action, step up, don't lay down, and certainly protect yourself and your family and inform the other people around you of the dangers, okay? Because the government is not going to warn them, so the responsibility rests with you, the informed. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a month.
To a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all get, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino or Latina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with heavy tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contraband. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's all about commercial slavery. Hey, we had a revelation over the ad, didn't we? Dr. Robin from... Oh, goodness, I've forgotten your website already.
That's okay. It's Health Freedom Rights.
Healthfreedomrights.com. Okay, now, we were thinking, what was it? I'm laughing about it, right? And you said that's what keeps you sane. But if mm-hmm. somebody were to be looking at me laughing at these terrible scenarios, I would appear insane, wouldn't I? So therefore, it's kind of like embracing the insanity in order to cope with it. Kind of like somebody, it's like the end of that movie Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke, where they're outside and the van that's made of marijuana is going up in flames and the police are all getting high off it and they're eating pizza and they're just, you know, acting like stoners. And one of them starts to freak out. And the other guy just says, just go with it. And he does. And he survives it. Right? And I suppose that's not entirely dissimilar from the situation that we all face with the continual usurpation of our civil liberties and the constant corruption that we come to expect from our governments and major corporations.
Most definitely. I mean, to me, one of the most hideous things that can be done is restrict the access to information for everybody. I mean, we the people need and deserve, and it's a basic right to have access to necessary information so we can make informed choices, be it our health, our banking, our real estate, or anything you name, and yet the media spins it all out of control, and we watch these ludicrous programs that have, I mean, they're just all fantasy.
All fantasy, right? And people get us confused with the ones that are in denial. They're like, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You think there's a conspiracy behind every door. You think that incredibly wealthy and powerful people conspire together to get more wealth and more power. You're just insane.
Well, Vinny, there was a program I caught last night. It was Piers Morgan on CNN interviewing Jesse Ventura. It was at the end of the show. And Jesse Ventura did a super job. And he clearly, you know, was presenting his position, not overstating what he did not know when talking about 9/11. And he asked Piers a question, and Piers tried to get out of it saying that, well, you know, I'm doing the interviewing. And he said, no, I really need to know, Piers, do you believe that there were these people with box cutters that took over and hijacked these planes, and that's how all this came about? And he said, yes, of course. And he said, and you believe that Osama bin Laden was behind this? And he said, yes, of course. And it's like, for those who look deeper into issues, you know, which side is the crazy side?
Yeah. Well, one side is the side of total, utter denial. And that's basically,
yes.
And there is no more substance to them than that. Okay, it's like, here's reality, and they're just on the other side of the fence.
And
I would feel sorry for them, but I'm too busy trying to help promote all the people that are on our side of the fence.
Yeah, we have a really big job trying to get information out, trying to wake people up, and I think I've come to accept over the years that instead of being as aggressive as I had been, I recognize that I'm providing a layer of information, and you'll provide another layer, someone else will provide another layer, and ultimately the recognition will be there. They've heard it so many times, and they will make the connection and get the picture of what's going on. But it is so overwhelming that for many people to accept outright so much of the reality of the lies they're being fed, everything, you know, their world comes apart.
Well, you know, and I think that the truth movement, or whatever we want to call it, we know who we are. It's about compartmentalization, I think. Everybody's got their own speciality and their own niche, and there's few people who have a speciality in being generalists, you know. They're the kind of people that tie all of the people together, right? So, you know, to make sure that it's clarified, right? Everybody else is bringing one piece of timber to a building site, and only a few people build the house. But everybody contributes, and without everybody contributing, it'd be drafty, or there wouldn't be any running water, or there wouldn't be any electricity. The whole thing that we really want is just a nice, stable, warm, beautiful home, okay? And without everybody's help, to make that for ourselves, for our community, for our countries, you know, what's the alternative? Sleep, you know, bum on the street? Because that's how I see it going. I sort of look at things in extremes, sometimes.
Yeah, no, I understand, you know, your perspective, because if we don't wake people up, then the extreme that you're projecting will become the reality. So there's... We have a time limitation here. Things are getting worse. The health of the people in the United States, around the world, I mean, it's not really getting better. We have so many chronic diseases, and yet people don't have the information on how to help themselves. And things...
Which is probably the reason why they're so chronic.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at it this way. Here's your niche. Your niche is health. But I get the feeling that you probably know an awful lot about the general agenda as well. So, So what's the number one thing on your radar in the news today?
Oh my gosh!
In terms of people's health.
Yeah, in terms of people's health, here's what my discussion was with the company that makes these nuclear radiation detectors. I'm concerned about what is going to happen with food from California. Can we measure the food for radiation? And I wanted to learn how I can do that with the equipment that I have. We have exposure, and we are being lied to that it is not a danger. I have friends and colleagues that are radiologists, and they all uniformly state in medical school that they were told the only good radiation is no radiation. And all we hear now is this is acceptable and that's acceptable and there's low level this and low level that. Well, we cannot have the burden of more. This is our primary problem right now. What is going to happen with the exposure from what's going on in Japan? So that doesn't negate the fact that we have a problem with the drilling for natural gas across the country and the fracking, the ongoing tragedy and continuing damage from the Gulf of Mexico. We have a population along the Gulf Coast that has been poisoned. I have been covering this story for almost a year now. I went down to the Gulf myself to do interviews and to collect my own samples of water to make up a homeopathic remedy to be able to treat this exposure, never thinking when I went there in the beginning of June that now, coming on a year later, that this problem is still there. We have people who've died, people who have brain lesions, they're bleeding internally, they have upper respiratory infections, their pets are losing their hair, having chronic coughing, chronic inability to eat, gastric disturbances. I mean, this is real. There are people who have gone to the area like John Hutchison and Nancy Lazarian to try to help, who've observed whole communities living on the water. And, Nancy had said that people don't really think clearly. They can't even walk straight because they are so toxic. I mean, take a pick. Which is the biggest problem?
Well, maybe it's to do with geography, I guess. It depends what area you're in. Have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where they determined that Mr. Burns was the sickest man in all of history? But because of the fact that he was infected with so many diseases, all the diseases cancelled each other out and weren't able to affect him.
Do you know that that's true? That can happen, and that was a medical treatment to, if someone had a serious illness, they would give them a cold or a minor condition to be able to let the body heal from that serious one.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I hear for The Simpsons.
Well, and this is the thing. We've got areas of the world, like areas around the Gulf of Oil Cano, that are now effed, and we've got areas of the world like around the other nuclear Kano in Japan and to a lesser extent Chernobyl, that are now basically just dead zones where nobody can live. And I remember back when this oil Kano crisis was happening, we had articles coming out saying that they should evacuate a good 40 million people from the area to make sure that they don't get sick. And now, because they haven't evacuated that many people... Guess what's happening? They're all getting sick. And I said, well, that was what I'd do. If I was able to get the heck out of that particular Gulf area, I would have done it. And I know for a fact that the studio, American Freedom Radio, was going to try and move as well. But, again, economic conditions conspire against us at every turn to get out of the path of destruction. And, of course, the news media that we rely on to protect us and inform us from all those dangerous thingies that might be lurking around each possible corner, they're talking about nothing. Nothing in particular. They're talking about Barack H. O'Berry going to the friggin' B-ball.
Yes, what the media covers, and I mean, there might have been a couple of people that tried to make an effort going to the Gulf when this disaster was happening and the oil was still on top of the water when it had not been cosmetically concealed by the use of the different forms of Corexit, that highly toxic, damaging chemical that was sprayed over the water and in the air just to make those big blobs on the surface of the water into tiny little globules that would sink to the bottom so you couldn't see it, and then ultimately not be able to measure how much contamination of oil took place. But I mean, it is crazy. I lost where we were starting from.
Well, so I wanted the real kind of the health conditions of our time that are very, very much on your radar, basically.
Yes.
You know, we've got the Gulf of Oil Kano incident. Now, in order to heal yourself from having Corexit in your blood, as several people have had, and all these nerve conditions, as I've seen a video of a Gulf oil worker now having a twitching just up by the nose, and she looks really, really sick, man. She says that people are dying. You know, it's like 9/11 first responders all over again.
Oh, yes, most definitely. As I mentioned, I've interviewed for the past 10 months so many people regularly to keep this in the consciousness of the population because the media does not do it. What I was going to say was that you had Rachel Maddow and you had a couple of others who were there. And they actually were touching the oil. They did not wear, masks to protect them from inhaling these toxic vapors. And some of them said, oh, you know, I really had a headache afterwards. And why no one had them take proper precautions? I mean, this was a concerted effort to make it look like, well, it's not that bad. You know, they were down there doing interviews and they weren't wearing masks. Were you aware that people who were cleaning up on the beaches were not allowed to wear hazmat suits?
Yep. And it's the thing. Public relations, PR, ladies and gentlemen, basically means putrefying rubbish, because that's what they try to feed you, really. Anything that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, anything that would endanger human life, all of a sudden becomes quite rosy in the eyes of a PR person. Especially when they're being paid $60,000 a minute for it.
Most definitely.
And not entirely dissimilar from the current media blackout, and I'm going to go ahead and say that it's a frickin' blackout regarding this Japanese nuclear crisis. That people are walking around as if everything's fine. They're not stocking up on iodine supplements. They're not getting their salts. They're not doing any frickin' research. They're not getting themselves informed, you know. If I was on mainstream media television, I'd be going, we're all screwed! We're all gonna frickin' die! Get yourself prepared, otherwise you're gonna cock it!
Well, with what you just mentioned, and this was a big issue that I addressed right away, there are certain health conditions that contraindicate the use of potassium iodide. So if someone has Addison's disease, different types of thyroid disease, there are many conditions, all of which I have linked on my site, healthfreedomrights.com. And then if you are on certain medication, one of which is as common as many types of birth control pills for women, you cannot take potassium iodide. So this is important information for people who are panicking. They can't just start taking this because people have already had to go to the emergency room because they've had severe reactions. And from my conversation today with one of the companies that makes these nuclear reactor measurement equipment, it's a very harsh medication, potassium iodide, to be used only when you know that the threat is quite imminent. Now, I know the question to follow is, how do we know when the threat is quite imminent? When we're being lied to. So we have to rely on people that have sophisticated equipment, not like the the little home unit that I have, but there are people that do have more sophisticated equipment, and I ask that those in your audience link up, share the information online so we can help to protect each other and alert each other for when we do have to take these more serious medications and stop taking some others, or find an alternative measure that we can use if it's a smaller dosage or a dilution of Lugol solution, which is another option.
Well, you know, on the bright side, you know, if you had to give up your birth control in order to be able to take potassium iodide, at least your children wouldn't be born deformed.
Yes, yes, most definitely. But there are other medications like lithium and some others where it could be a problem. And lithium actually is a very old medication used for psychiatric conditions, I believe, for bipolar conditions.
Well, see, I thought it was the kind of mineral that you give people to give them lots of energy so that they can run your electronic devices. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, Dr. Robin Falkov, is with me for the full hour today, and we'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about organized crime
on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. A very special guest joining us live from the Sicilian Republic of the United States is Dr. Robin Falkov. Welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. It's good to be back.
Water. Anybody else out there feeling thirsty? Anybody else feel like you want a nice, fabulous, metallic taste with your fabulous cup of water? Well, now you can have it with free radiation raining from the skies.
And if you happen to be in the Gulf area, you're getting benzene, toluene, xylene, all those toxic chemicals from oil and Corexit.
And interestingly enough, when you combine them all, it tastes somewhat like a bourbon chaser.
Oh, so yeah, it seems like there's not many places to go to escape from all these things. And quite interestingly, there were reports probably, I have an article on my website about water, the water story. And in the early 90s, there were reports that came out about the feminizing of young boys from the plastics, the PCBs.
Oh, no, it was BPA, I think it is. But I don't know what you're talking about feminizing men. I think that's just a conspiracy theory.
No, BPA, bisphenol A. Yeah, that's current that they've reported on. Back in 1990, it was the PCBs.
Oh, for and goodness those, sake.
Oh, we've been poisoned for a long, long time. It goes back way before that.
Oh, yeah.
But what happens, this stuff goes into the water. You know, you have the plastics. You have, I mean, the people who are foolish enough to still use microwaves and heat things up in those plastic dishes or put saran wrap, all of those toxins in the plastics, not just BPA, but there are many other toxins, they leach into the food. So, you know, it just becomes, I guess, something for The Simpsons to do a skit about how many areas people are being poisoned. You know, and the other that no one really thinks about are the pharmaceutical drugs that get recycled and recycled and recycled because municipal water systems do not have very sophisticated removal processes. And the basic filtration that they use in sanitization with chlorine does not get out the residue of pharmaceutical drugs, be it from birth control pills, antibiotics, sleeping pills, SSRIs, antidepressants. I mean, all of these things that get excreted in human waste products get put back into the system, and there are very few treatments that will remove it. So we talk about the overexposure and the uselessness of many antibiotics because of that overexposure. Well, this is another means.
See, and that's the secondary and the accidental. The other is the purposely added lithium in the water and all of that other stuff. You know, I've had articles been coming out for years of putting drugs in the water supplies.
Yes. Let's see. What was fluoride used for? Gosh, was that used to calm populations in certain camps during World War II?
Yeah. They called them maybe a Freudian slip there. Were they summer camps, FEMA camps, or concentration camps? I forget which.
It's interchangeable, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait till I get taken to a FEMA camp. I need to get my volleyball game on.
Well, you know, there's something about the people that will be there. They will be like-minded people. That will be the first time that they will be able to put like-minded people together.
Hey, that's a great thing. All of us truthers and everything will all be locked up together in a prison, and we'll be like, man, we're home. But what's up? You know, because all of us know each other and all that kind of stuff. It'll be like a freaking family reunion paid for by the government.
Yes, as long as it lasts.
Yeah. I mean, mate, we'll all smell real bad because none of us will be stupid enough to want to go take a shower, but... But other than that, I'm sure it'll be quite pleasant.
Oh, you know? My gosh.
Well, I'm just waiting for the travel industry to capitalize on this, you know. Camp FEMA, only 25 minutes by cattle car.
it's people that are listening that have to recognize that these are possibilities. They might not be likely, and they can be totally avoided if the population of this world recognizes we all share this planet together. We're not going to be manipulated into some manufactured enemy, and we won't buy into divide and conquer. We'll all join together and demand what we want because it's up to the people, and there are more of us than there are of them.
Well, that's before the radiation gets rid of the rest of us.
I'm just getting over a cold. You're going to make me gag here.
Oh, the elements conspire.
Well, yes, if it's the radiation, if it's the fracking, I mean, you have the people who turn on their water faucet and light a match and it explodes because of the gases that come out of it.
Yeah, I know.
So we have...
I mean, forget your McDonald's diet explosion in the kitchen. I mean, imagine water exploding. we're not kidding. Although we're laughing, we're not kidding. This stuff is actually going on. It is far worse than you could ever actually conceive of. Trust me. You know.
It is, and the most amazing thing is that it still can be fixed. You know, if people wake up and demand action, there is technology sophisticated enough to clean up all of these messes, down to the radiation. They just
really
have to allow it. Well,
because if you could tell me right now a technological device that can get rid of radiation that's got like a half-life of 50,000 generations or something, that'd be very nice. It'd be quite handy to have that information.
But that's all classified.
Dang it! just the endless frustration. It's like, now I understand what Republicans talk about when they talk about the annoying thing about bureaucracy. Because they bureaucratize all the technology that would save our lives. It's really quite frustrating.
Yes, it really is. You know, there's an interesting example. I came across an old issue of Omni magazine some years ago. It was from 1979, And in that issue, I had read an article where they stated that computers were set up to monitor long distance phone calls in 1979, and that they would record certain keywords. Now, when everyone was talking about Echelon, I remembered that article I had read, and oh my gosh, did I go to extremes to track down the actual copy of that magazine, which I was able to do. And here everyone is talking about Echelon 20 years later. Oh my God, they're spying on us. This was happening 20 years before, and yet somehow it leaked out and then got covered up.
A three-letter word comes to mind. Duh.
Yes.
You know, everybody's lagging behind on the info.
Well, and the release of information, the release of technology can be 20, 30 years. It's tragic.
It's to the point that by the time they let you know that they're spying on everything you do, they've already been doing it for like a couple of decades.
Yep, there are no secrets.
Just so that they can get the system in place, okay, they keep you in the dark because they know that if they told you before they'd even started their fledgling police state that they're going to say, hey, we're going to take away all your rights. No, you don't do that. Incrementalism, baby. You let a little bit of information out, or none at all, a little bit at a time, just until you've got all your fabulous control mechanisms in place, and then you tell people about it when they can't, in fact, you know what? I don't think there's such a thing as we can't do anything about it. You know, I think there's a very negative way to think about any bad situation, particularly as it pertains to government, because history shows that every time people get effed off with their government, they kill the bastards. And then they become free for a short period of time until some new bastards take control.
It's when people become lazy, when they become victims of the propaganda because it's convenient, and they stop questioning, and they stop being active participants in their government and in their lives, that this insanity is allowed to happen.
That's the reason why empathy is so fostered in our society. In fact, I have a picture on my cell phone that I took when I was walking around town. You know what it says? Apathy is the answer to everything. Somebody had posted that on a wall in the city. I want to find that person. And I want to make them try and swallow my smartphone.
Well, and, you know, they back up that particular quote that you saw posted by the use, the widespread use of pharmaceutical drugs, the advertising everywhere for pharmaceutical drugs. And what people don't recognize, all of these anti-anxiety, antidepressive, all of these drugs just sort of desensitize people. You know, this is a whole myth, the whole industry of psychiatry and treating people with these drugs. It's a crapshoot. They don't really know where these things will go. You read or you listen to the descriptions on television that they give you, but if you look in a PDR or you look up a medication online, you don't have to bother with the pharmacology. And this is something I teach in workshops. You want to know what is a contraindication. That means against indication for you. If you have a condition, a pre-existing condition, that means you should never take this drug, what the warning signs are, what the side effects are. And let me tell you, the best business plan I have ever seen is the pharmaceutical industry, because they know that there are side effects that they can literally bank on to keep the patients coming back over and over and over again.
Problem, reaction, solution, same old Hegelian dialectic over and over again. But the difference between, I think it's in New Zealand, you know how you got the warning labels on your drugs in the States, right? We don't.
Oh.
They don't even list the side effects, okay? They were advertising the untested swine flu injections for pregnant women, when on the packaging, directly, even on the pharmaceutical websites, they say, do not give it to pregnant women.
Oh, and here in New Mexico, they were making announcements on television how pregnant women should be vaccinated first. And interestingly enough, we had been in Mexico in April of 2009 when this supposed outbreak took place. And we were there with an NBC sci-fi crew working on a documentary. And when we were leaving Mexico to go to Guatemala, everyone, you know, had looked online before we left for the airport. And we read that, oh, my God, people are deathly ill in Mexico City, where we had just been filming. And everybody is wearing a mask. They're sick in the streets. And we all looked at each other. How come we didn't see any sick people? You know, where were they hiding? You know, I mean, there were cameras filming all this stuff, but there were no sick people that became visible.
Leave me alone with my swine flu, Eze. I'm just trying to get to myself.
Oh, gosh. Misrepresentation. I'm sure you know the whole story about the supposed accidental contamination of the 72 kilos with live virus.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous avian flu virus. In fact, I interviewed and made a few videos for Jane Burgermeister of Burgermeister 666. And, Matt, she's a lovely lady, eh? Absolutely onto it. And she's of course, paying the price because in this fabulous reality, no good deed goes unpunished.
Most definitely. I put together a show for Coast to Coast with George Norrie and then was with him on the air to interview the people, and Jane was one of them. And that was in August of 2009 because it was so important that people hear the information before children went back to school. So, okay, if a parent wants to choose to vaccinate, let them at least have all the information so they can make an informed choice.
Oh, informed choice. Don't we have loopholes against that? Oh, wait, that's right, we do. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Dr. Robin Falkov, and we'll be right back after this very short break.
The way it's going to be.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It is the final segment for today, and I think every day is like the movie 2012. It's just one big disaster, and you think you'd have more time. My very special guest is Dr. Robin Falkov, and she joins us now for this final segment. Have you been having fun?
I have been having a fabulous time. I have to say, with all of the interviews I have done, your show is by far the most enjoyable.
You know, I get that a lot. Now,
and, you know, I'm sorry to everyone who might hear this, but it's the truth.
I suppose it's because when other people are hosting their radio shows, their prime objective is to get the truth, well, fact-based, documented evidence. But my goal is just to have fun at the New World Order's expense, because after all, there's nobody on Earth with a bigger expense account than the New World Order.
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah. Smoke if you got them. And speaking of smoke if you got them, the radiation attack, as I've come to kind of think of it as, you know, like the entire human race here is under attack. And in a very serious note here, very serious way, there is very little information being spread out on mainstream media, and I know we repeat this over and over again, but apparently, according to the CIA, repetition is one of the most profound brainwashing mechanisms known to man. So if you don't mind, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to try and brainwash you into thinking that you're intelligent and capable people that will, in fact, take measured response and try and save yourselves and your lives and your family and your community. But that's just my objective, and I could be wrong.
Oh, I support your objective. I try to follow through on that all the time to let people know the same things.
Yeah. And you've got your own radio show, don't you, Robin?
Yes. I am a co-host for Radio RMN, which is part of Rumor Mill News Radio. I do Fridays, and I have a focus on health. We had a different format before, and I was doing a couple of days a week, but now we have some other hosts as well. But I have tried to keep the Gulf Coast in everybody's mind by interviewing the local people who are suffering, who've been singled out and attacked because of their work and dedication to put videos up showing the spraying that's taken place, showing the dead sea life that washes up on the beaches before it's been cleaned up. So it's many areas, and it's just it's wonderful to be able to have a venue as you do where I am not censored, and that is very rare.
Well, you see, technically we are censored because even though we're on American Freedom Radio and the network and the internet streams and all of that, we still have to fall out under FCC guidelines when we're broadcasting. And I don't know. I guess it's kind of like a mix and match. I indeed had a discussion with my first hour guest, Justin Time, about this, is that although we're censored to a certain degree, we're not censored to the degree where we can't talk, we can't actually get the message across. You know, it's more like just we can't use profanity and such like that, even though they may be, in a lot of cases, the most appropriate vocabulary.
Right, yeah, I have the same restriction as well, which is fine, because you want people to not be turned off in any way from the important information you're trying to communicate. So, yeah, that's the basic guideline for the FCC.
Well, you know what? That's the problem, Robin. I mean, I've had comments on my videos. Remember, I interviewed G. Edward Griffin. He had a great time. You've had a great time. But the comments on the videos that I make afterwards are kind of like, we hate this foolish radio show host. I love G. Edward Griffin, but now I know that I hate cackling hosts who are all immature and such like that. And I'm not sure how to take that. Now, I try to take criticism just kind of as you probably should, you know, take it on board and think, maybe making fun of the people dying in Japan's not a very good idea, Vinny. Perhaps you should dial back on that a tad and you know, try to be a little more, I don't know, acceptable to people, right? And then the other part of me thinks, well, what about everybody else who does enjoy the show?
Yeah. Well, it's not funny that they are dying there, and I don't feel in any way you're making outright fun of that. You're laughing because it's like a tragedy. It's so ridiculous that this is even taking place, that the damage is going to be so far-reaching. I mean, people forget, literally, what goes around comes around. They forget all these stories about DDT being found in every remote part of the world. So all of this pollution reaches everyone. We're all affected. So it's, you know, you want to laugh as we're being poisoned. Maybe that'll wake people up to take action.
Well, I certainly hope so. But at the very least, it'll release some nice, happy, happy-making endorphins so I don't get incredibly depressed at the fact that I'm going to die. Yeah. I'm going to stave off depression, you know? It's a bad thing, man, because it's anger minus the motivation.
Yes. And, you know, lifting up the corners of your mouth into a smile has a wonderful effect of cascading neurotransmitters throughout the body to make you feel better, and laughing just is even better.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you can trick yourself into being happy just by smiling. Did you know that? If you don't believe me, go out and smile, and you'll be surprised at how many people think you're happy. Robin Falkov has been my guest and my direct and fabulous pleasure, and many other nice adjectives. Robin, thank you so much.
My pleasure being with you, Vinny.
Mm-mm-mm. We'll definitely have you on again sometime, and I'd love to come on your radio show if you'd let me, but see that for another time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another exciting edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be back some other time, I'm sure. Hopefully, we'll be fueled by something other than, you know, nuclear power plants. And if you wanted to check out Robin Falkov's website, it's www.healthfreedomrights.com. If you want to get informed about a very, very wide range of topics indeed. All right. Another fabulous show. I can't believe how fabulous the guests we have on this show are. You know, everybody all around the world, you're just cool. That's what I'm saying. And we'll see you again sometime.